there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 179, the 179th episode here at the Caffeination. We'd just like to welcome all of our new and returning listeners. Without you, this show really wouldn't keep going on. I'd like to thank everybody for stopping in, tuning in, giving us some of your valuable ear time. Advertising's all about collecting eyeballs. Podcasts are all about collecting lobes. So we'd just like to thank you for making the choice to give this a shot. If you'd like to find out where this episode lives and the rest of the ones just like it, you can head on over to www.caffination.com. That's caffination.com. I am Paul. I'm going to be your host. Any and all questions, comments, anything else you'd like to throw our directions, you can send that over to caffination@gmail.com. For the rest of the fun little contact info, you head on over to the site, caffination.com, as per the previous comment. And you can just click on the listings or the about, or it's pretty much everywhere how to get into contact with us. Don't want to bore everybody with all that. Just like to say right up front and personal that we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here, proudly listed over there at techpodcasts.com. We're also a proud member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. It's a social podcasting network, so anybody who listens to podcasts or has a podcast can head on over there and join up. It's a great little community. It's a way to add listeners to your show. It's a way that people can find you. It's a different point of presence online, so it's a fun little thing, the whole nine yards there. We have a great show lined up for you today. Absolutely fantastic. Today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about recalls, a little bit about greed, some betting, space law, and of course, coffee. So if you're wondering what this show is all about, it's about the two slightly divergent worlds of coffee and caffeine, and actually, no, not coffee and caffeine. Rather, like caffeine and technology. They're not just topics around here. They're more of a lifestyle. It's how I live. It's how we do around here. So hopefully you'll find this content interesting for your consumption here. So we're trying to coalesce the more interesting news stories that I found around online today into a great show lined up for you today. So I hope you'll like it. We do have some PodSafe music to lead off the show with. We do have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. Like I said, a lot of tech, a little bit of caffeine, and then, you know, as always, the fun little banter that goes in between everything else. So I hope you're enjoying today's show, or hope you will enjoy today's show. I wanted to talk to you a little bit right up front about the sponsor for today's show. If you are looking for a way to present or collaborate during any conference calls you might want to give a shot, your solution is simple: web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your calls, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, we're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime without ever leaving your office. You not only end up saving time, but a lot of money as well. See for yourself, try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting today. We'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination, and we'd like to ease you right on the PodSafe music that we got here from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. We have a fantastic artist by the name of Art Linton and his song Straightened by Fire. First heard on the Jersey Todd Show, so here you go. Hope you enjoy it. Again, this is Art Linton, Straightened by Fire, from the PodSafe Music Network. Again, that was Art Linton from the PodSafe Music Network, The Straightened by Fire. So hopefully you enjoyed that. Kind of a fun little song. Found tooling around over there, so hopefully you enjoyed that. All right, wanted to get right on a little bit of general information. Just wanted to let everybody know a little update as to what happened on the last show. If you were listening, a little rewind here. I made a bet with the fine fellow, Deacon Unscripted, the fine fellow, the host of Unscripted 360 over at Unscripted360.com. He hosts a fantastic Xbox Live or Xbox podcast. That'd be Deacon Blade 360. I made the bet with if Dallas beat the Eagles on last Monday night, then I would end up wearing the Dallas Star as my gamer pick. So if you head on over to Xbox.com or you check out the Xbox blog that I have posted in there somewhere, you'll see that I've been wearing the Dallas Star so far. The Eagles decided not to really even show up. It was a rather frustrating event nonetheless. I'm a man of my word, and you know what? I didn't think it was going to bother me at first because, I mean, hey, it's so what, you know? It's just a little gamer picture. It would only cost me like a buck or something like that to put it up there. But the more I look at it, I mean, yeah, other people are going to look at it and say, oh, he's a Dallas fan. I think that's what bothers me more than anything else. It's not the fact that it's Dallas. I mean, it's partially the fact that it's Dallas. But it's not the fact that anything like that. It's more the fact that I know it's a misrepresentation of who I am. So it's kind of funny. Hopefully I'll be able to get him on the next go around. He'll end up walking around with the Eagles insignia. That'd be kind of fun. All right, just moving right along. So if you actually head on over to caffeination.com. The picture for today's show is a picture of my son wearing his McNabb jersey, and he's less than thrilled. Somewhat close to the expression that I actually had on my face that day. So, all right. Moving right along to the stuff you came to hear about, we're going to get right on into the tech right around here. It says, I should have been this kid. Over from trendhunter.com, this talks about a funny little kid who finds a fantastic little gem as he's wandering around his hometown of La Crosse, Wisconsin. Apparently, Caleb Kidd was looking around and found a funny-looking rock. Picked this funny-looking rock up, and what do you know? It's a mammoth tooth. Yes, a 30,000-year-old fossil. This kid finds it. Now, up until I entered college, I wanted to be a paleontologist. This kid probably can't pronounce it. He's 3 years old. Damn him. This is horrible. I mean, the only unfortunate thing about the entire thing, at least for him, anyway, is that it's currently in a museum. He didn't even get to keep the tooth. I mean, if that was me, I'd be like, you know what? You know, how about this? You let me keep the tooth for a little bit, and then it'll be all good. But no, so they took it. I don't know what they're going to do with it. I mean, I actually went to school for anthropology and archaeology, so it was close. I've been on digs, but nothing like this. I mean, that's just fantastic. I mean, I can't even imagine finding a fossil. I found cool things. I mean, I'm not even going to lie. During my many travels, during the different digs that I went on, just a couple, I mean, you know, different field school and everything like that. And I worked in a lab for a little bit. But, you know, finding something that was in the ground that's only like 3,000 to 5,000 years old was insane. Like, you pull it out of the ground like, wow, I can't even imagine the last time a human laid eyes on that. How about looking at that, finding the mammoth tooth, holding it up in your hand, saying, a human has never looked on this. No one else has ever seen this. Mammoths did not exist. Mammoths were at like the early end of humanity. And here's this little kid coming around. Caleb Kidd. I mean, he's a kid named Kidd. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than this. You know what I mean? So I'm... It's a fantastic find for the kid. It's awesome, but at the same point in time, I am green with envy. It just sucks that it wasn't me, damn it. Not that there's a lot of dinosaurs hanging around the fine metropolitan area of Philadelphia, but however, there are hadrosaurs. There's a couple trilobites. I mean, there's all kinds of fun little tongue twisters to play with, but... We actually have this crazy little book for our son that somebody bought him. It's 10 Little Dinosaurs. Basically, if you know, like the 10 Little Monkeys Jumping on the Bed kind of book. Yeah, one fell off and bumped his head. Imagine that, and transpose the monkeys with the dinosaurs and different types of dinosaurs. And there's actually different names for the dinosaurs as they go through. And they are the truly long Latin names. So, you know, Archaeopteryx, Ankylosaurus, you know, the whole nine yards are in there. My wife took one look at the book and said, guess who's reading this one? So we have some fun. She's actually attempted it after the fact, but it was kind of fun. But all right, Caleb, you lucky little kid, you. That's a fantastic find. And everybody has a little bit of a paleontologist in them, especially all little boys. There's always some corner of your mind where you said, you know what? I like dinosaurs. It'd be awesome to find one. He found one that's just not a dinosaur, but almost. Ancient mammoth. That is fantastic. All right, another thing that we actually found from a local news site here. This is too strange to believe. This is over at 6abc.com. Hopefully it'll still be up there by the time you get a check on it. And there's other places you can find it, but still. There's a fantastically awesome toy that was supposed to be out for this this holiday season approaching. It's called Aqua Dots. Now, it's being sold in the United States, it's being sold in Australia, it's being sold pretty much in most of the English-speaking world that I can understand. The actual company that makes it's based in Australia. They're called Moose Enterprises, and it's a great little thing. Basically, there's a bunch of tiny little beads that you put on this thing, and when you spray them with water, they actually meld together, so they can be arranged into designs. They can, it's I don't know. It's like an easy bake oven without the heat. So that would be fantastic. And all right, so it's tiny little beads. You'd expect that if there was going to be a recall on this, it'd be one of two things at this point. First of all, the story leads off by saying millions of Chinese-made toys. First off, I'm going to guess lead paint. That's what I would guess right off the bat, because, I mean, everything we're buying the kit at this point in time, you're like, all right, check the recall list, this month, next month, and every month afterwards to make sure that there wasn't lead-based paint in some tiny little section of it. You'd think they'd inspect toys when they come into the country, you know what I mean? All right, but beyond that, it's like, okay, fine, so it's not lead paint. Got it, good. It's hundreds of tiny little beads that you're supposed to arrange. Okay, choking hazard, that's what it is. No problem. Not even close. Now, you have these fun little beads. If a child was to eat them, what do you think they'd be metabolized into? Most people would be metabolized into poo. But no, not really. They're metabolized into a close approximation of the date rape drug. Yes, that's correct. The drug, slipping someone a roofie, dropping that little fizzy tablet an alcoholic beverage or whatever else. When it's ingested, it actually turns into hydroxybutyrate. Oh my god, I can't even pronounce it. It's crazy. So, and these are some of the symptoms. Just some of the symptoms. Unconsciousness, seizures, drowsiness, coma, and death. I'm sorry, death isn't a symptom. Death's like the outcome. I never really liked it when they said, some side effects might include death. No, death isn't a side effect. That's the main event, okay? There is no such thing as a side effect when you're throwing down the death card. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I can't even imagine thinking of a product like this, that most things, when they're ingested, they get turned into a certain other substance. They don't, you don't imagine a chemical reaction somehow occurring in whatever magical little dust they put on these things that turns them into a drug of that order of magnitude. The unfortunate thing here is that there's already been three children who've been affected by this. A 2-year-old boy, a 10-year-old boy, and a 19-month-old toddler have been treated. All three of them suffered almost instant comas after, all three of them were incredibly deep comas. So far, I think all three of them have actually made it out, you know what I mean? So Toys R Us has actually issued the famous stop sale on the entire Spin Master Aqua Dots product line, and so just a little word of the wise. Apparently, it's just crazy. So, toy cars, that's another thing with lead in them. I mean, there's just insane amounts of absolutely everything you can imagine right now that's going wrong with the toy business. So be careful, Santas and prospective Santas out there. It's just one of those crazy little worlds we're living in right now. So it's really frustrating to even think about shopping for things, you know what I mean? All right, now the next little thing we have up here is a little bit of James Bond slipped on into the caffeination. It might look like a pen, but it's actually a pen. It's also a Bluetooth transmitting camcorder. I don't know where the lens is. Maybe it's in the point of the pen. I can't even figure this out. But this thing can do quarter frame, which is 320 by 240 pixel, 30 frames per second, which is just tiny enough to, be a very unobtrusive. It's a normal-looking pen. It actually does, I hope, function as a pen, because, I mean, otherwise you're sitting there, do you have a pen? And somebody's saying, oh, don't you have one right there? Damn, you got me. But apparently it can transmit the entire thing back to any PC, and it also has a micro SD card that can actually fit into it, which is right around the size of a baby's fingernail. This is thing tiny. But it says, coming to a spy shop or bedroom near you. So, I mean, we've talked about cameras that had potential for abuse. This one doesn't have... I'm not going to label this an 11 or anything crazy like that. I mean, there is a certain amount of potential for abuse, as with any kind of camera system, especially ones that are supposed to be surreptitious, you know, behind the scenes kind of, this is a tiny camera, but kind of thing. But this one just doesn't seem to be as malevolent as the finger cam that they had before, but this is just... I'm going to rate this one a 9, because it's probably just going to be used for pranks and stuff like that, but you know now, like, now they have the pen camera out there, all the government agencies are, no pencils in our place, you can only use pen, or no pens in our place, you can only use pencils. I have one line to deliver, and I can't even do that. All right, next little thing we have up here is a little bit of green technology seeping on into the cabination. This is WinTech for your home. This is a neat, fun little turbine that actually sits on the crest of your house, and it's a low mile-an-hour turbine. Basically, a lot of the turbines that you used to be able to get, especially the big ones for the wind farms and everything else like that, you know, they need like sustained winds over like 12 miles an hour. This thing, if you get a 6.7 mile breeze, it can set this windmill in motion, generating 1600 kilowatts per year if your winds average over 11 miles an hour. So I mean, not a lot, but if you have a bunch of blustery days around here, I think the average wind speed's around 8 or 9, so it's enough to cut your electricity bill, which is fantastic. They say you can cut it by around $75 a month. Here's the catch. You'd love for something that looks like this to be very cheap. It's $7,000. And it's less than some of the other stuff that's out there, but it's still out of my price range, so I won't be able to give you a review on it anytime soon. The fun, cool thing about it, another fun, cool thing about it, rather, is that it has automatic braking in it so that it does never get too loud. So it's never going to go faster than 225 revolutions a minute. I don't understand exactly how fast the wind would be blowing for that, but it's never going to get noisy enough to bother you or your neighbors. There should also be like a hurricane lock on it where, you know, there she blows, you pull a little lever down in the basement and it like either retracts it, locks it up, does something fun with it. But, you know, hey, it's pretty cool. Apparently it can take care of your entire electrical bill if you have sustained winds anywhere over 10 miles or 11 miles an hour there. So that's kind of cool. The fun thing is, if you stack a couple of these up on your roof, you could probably get it to the point where you are completely off the grid, where the electric company is paying you. Now, wouldn't that be sweet, sweet justice? I would love to see that. Now, yeah, if I win the lottery or something like that, yeah, I don't think I'm going to move to a big fancy house. I like that little cute little house that I have right now. Might make some improvements. Definitely would put the off-the-grid system in on it. Pay off all the loans and everything else like that. You know, pie in the skies type stuff. Every time you make one of those payments on a loan, you sit there, look at it, and go, I wish I could take care of you. But, you know, this would help towards that end. This would be a definite bonus, a value add feature to any house. So if you have that kind of disposable income and you're in an area that has a large sustained flow of wind, you might want to consider trying that thing out. It's kind of a fun idea to play around with. All right, now the next little thing they have up here is actually from over at Engadget.com. It's called the Sanyo the company Sanyo actually creates an inspection robot. So this tiny little tank thing with all kinds of infrared UVs and UV LEDs and everything else like that is full of all kinds of fun little sensors. And what it basically is a complete underfloor robot. So these things are supposed to go into return air plenums, all the places where it's really a pain in the rear end to send people. And it's actually going to be used to instruct and in one section it's going to be used to instruct, but in the other section it's going to be used to inspect, rather, buildings and stuff like that. So it's going to look for structural damage. It's going to have all kinds of crazy sensors and all that on it. So it's a very useful robot. So when the invasion comes, we might be forced to spare one of these. Now what they need to do is they need to actually make one of these suckers that can like climb on bridges. You know, I know it's a weird thing to think about, but they need to have one that, you know, works on the cables or stuff like that, because there's a serious amount of stress that goes on some of those bridges. There was a story just today of one of the Bay Bridges, or the Bay Bridge rather, the west section of the Bay Bridge in San Francisco, actually was hit by a cargo ship today. I mean, this has literally just happened like 2 hours ago. So it was hit by a cargo ship. No damage is immediately evident, except to the ship, which is leaking oil all over the bay right there. But and the bridge seems to be fine. But you just know. I mean, you just know there's something going down there. So I just, you know, it'd be a great idea to be able to test the structural integrity of a bridge just with a fun little robot like this. And speaking of structural integrity, a little aside here. Many people might wonder why we labeled this episode 179 Teeth. First off, it's because my son's still teething, and that weighs very heavily on my mind. It's causing some lost sleep. We're doing good so far, knock on wood. But, the other reason is due to the structural integrity of one of my teeth. If you're following me on Twitter, twitter.com/caffeination, you might have noticed in the past couple of days I've been complaining a lot about migraines. And I've noticed in the past couple of weeks, rather, I've started to have more and more headaches. And I've had issues with migraines in the past, so it would not be uncommon for this thing to kind of flare up. Well, I reached in my mouth the other day and found out that I had what felt like a crack in one of my teeth. Apparently, one of my teeth actually does have a very small hairline crack going from top to bottom in the back right-hand side top molars. That sucks, pretty much. It means that on Saturday I'm going to have to get a root canal to take care of that. The tooth has no fillings in it. This is what kills me. The teeth on either side of it, fillings, no problems. I would almost be glad if one of them kind of cracked. I mean, I've never had this kind of oral surgery before, so I'm pretty much petrified. So I'm going to get the whole root canal and the crown back there. Don't know what to expect. Everybody's telling me it's going to take a couple visits and it's going to be really bad. I am nervous to beat the band right now. So it's, chewing on the one side of your mouth ain't no fun, but this isn't going to be any fun this weekend either. So just want to let you know. So if you see a message up there about the caffeination on Sunday that I just not feeling up to it, then it kind of gives you a little idea as to why. I meant to talk about this a little earlier. Don't know. Just got too caught up in the fun little news that we got going here. Alright, moving right along with the other stuff that we got here. Oh, by the way, one of the main reasons that I have to get this done is when I drink coffee, my teeth hurt. That's not good. I mean, warm coffee, hot coffee, cool coffee, any kind of coffee, it actually irritates the teeth, and that's just unacceptable for somebody who runs a podcast such as myself. We're going to get to caffeination a little bit later on here, but alright, this is something I actually wondered for a while, but there's a fun little article over at Slashdot. It says, whose laws apply on the ISS, the International Space Station? Well, apparently, back in 1967, they thought of this little question, and it was the Outer Space Treaty of 1967 was actually ratified by 98 nations. And if you heard that little noise, apparently my son coughed from upstairs. I don't know if you can actually hear that, so just want to put the little proviso out there. All right, so this was actually ratified by 98 nations. It's fun because some of the nations that were around back in 1967, I'm looking at you, Yugoslavia, don't exist any longer. They're actually two separate nations, so I wondered if they'd have to re-ratify it. But the long and the short of this is, if a crime is committed in space, the jurisdiction belongs to whichever country the astronaut came from. But the fun part about this is that, for instance, if the United States builds Module A and sends it up, that is technically United States soil. If the EU, the European Union, throws a module out there, then they own that one. Russia, same deal. So there's an amalgam of crazy different pieces of soil in space, basically. US, Europe, Russia, Japan, everything up like that. Now, let's just extrapolate this just one section further here, and let's just say somebody manages to have some sort of projectile weapon, maybe a phaser, that would be kind of cool, but, and he's standing in the US module, and he pings somebody off who happens to be sitting in the Japanese module. So where did the crime technically take place? I mean, God forbid the Russian module is actually in between them, and the bullet or phaser or laser beam had to actually go through it. Just kind of crazy, and with the more things change, the more they stay the same. So even though we have this whole big movement towards globalization, things are getting tighter everywhere, but people are still staking their claim even in outer space. you'd kind of hope that something like that would be under some kind of international law. And they said, well, you know, it was rejected that they all answer to U.S. laws, and I'm perfectly fine with that. We have enough problems here. We don't need a freaking space station to take care of as well. But at the same point in time, it would kind of be helpful to have, like, a unified body dealing with this. Say, some United Nation kind of thing. It's some organization of United Nations might be a good idea, but, you know, not saying the UN would actually want to try and do anything, but... So, you know, just kind of fun. I thought I'd put it out there. I mean, hey, space is geeky, right? Just same thing. All right, moving right along. How would you like to have Google on your gas pumps? That's correct. There's a gas station called Encore that's actually working on a robot partnership that has a standard gas pump. And then on the screen, there's actually a fun little map system, so you can actually see Google Maps. So it shows you where you are, and then shows you the different restaurants, so they can partner with the Denny's like they have on this list. This is listed over at Engadget and everywhere else right now. But saw it first on Engadget, so they get the press about it. But so imagine you're sitting there lost in the middle of absolutely nowhere. You have no clue where you are. This thing can, if you click on that, then click on something else and say where you'd like to go, it can actually print directions for you. It can print coupons for the restaurants they're talking about, which I think is fantastic. They always have to have the fun little coupons or something else like that. So they're looking to include Google's mapping service in 3,500 internet-enabled gasoline pumps across the United States. So that's a really interesting idea. That's one connection of technology I didn't actually see coming. I mean, there's some stuff that when you're sitting there, you go, wow, I wish I had thought of that. You know, I probably had thoughts along those lines at some point in time. It's a shame that I'm lazy and didn't act on any of that. It's a shame that you need money to make money. But this is one of those things that came completely out of left field. When they first said Google gas pumps, I'm like, all right, what are they talking about? Are they talking about the gas pumps that actually exist in the Googleplex? Or are they talking about anything like that? No. This is a partnership. They're actually talking about an amalgam of the two different services. And I like the fact that Google's not trying to go it alone, either in this or in the Google mobile thing, which in case you missed it on Monday, again, more news coming out after the caffeination actually threw down. But you know, they're not actually creating a G phone, as it were. They're actually creating a mobile platform. So they're creating a operating system and a series of applications all based around open source, basically. All based around the idea that things should be free, that I shouldn't have to pay to access the network that I'm already accessing. For instance, I'm calling on you, Verizon, right now. So if I'm using my minutes to talk on the phone, how is that any different than any other data that's carried on your information back lane dirt road? You know what I mean? So I like it that the fact that Google is definitely thinking outside the box. They're definitely thinking crazy outside the box here. So giant kudos to Google's on this one. This is a really cool idea, and I see a lot of potential for this down the road. All right, now the next little thing we have here is robots steal our children's love. Yes, there's a fun little robot coming out of Japan called the QROI. So Creo? Anyway, but there's a bunch of... they did a study recently that has this slightly toddler-shaped robot, and they put it in the middle of a bunch of 18 to 24-month-old kids, and they tried to analyze the interaction between the children and the robot. So they said, okay, we're just going to throw this thing in there, and the kids are going to go in there, and they're going to play with it, and it's going to try and act like a kid. Apparently, the kids took to it fine. No problems whatsoever. They said it was kind of funny. If the kids would actually reach out and touch their hands, they would cover it with a blanket when it laid down. They had all the normal reactions to another kid, as if this little robot, even though it doesn't look particularly human, as if it was another kid. In fact, it was really even funnier. They went on to say that the kids actually decided to leave the robot alone. They shunned it, was the word they used, when it was programmed to dance nonstop. So when the thing was just sitting there and acting all kinds of crazy and goofy, it just went on its merry way. They said, you know what, we don't want to play with that kid, and they walked away. However, they forgave it and came back. Now, I don't know how much of this is telegraphing emotions that don't really exist onto robots or onto children. You know, maybe they did feel it that way. Maybe they were just like, wow, that thing's kind of weird. I'm just going to stand over here for a minute. Okay, it's not so weird anymore. Or maybe kids are just kind of like goldfish and they don't have a very long memory. You never really know. So it's kind of cool. Also kind of weird that they would you know, have this test go on for 5 months. Seriously, what were the kids doing with the robot for 5 months? Did the robot learn its letters and colors and everything by the end of that? By the way, a small little update in case you missed it somewhere in the last little, like, 5 minutes. I am no longer knocking on wood. I'm no longer mentioning teething on podcasts because every single time I do it, he wakes up. This time in the middle of taping, so you're not going to actually hear any. You just might hear a little bit of tension in my voice at this point in time. I wish we could find out when these teeth are coming in. He still only has 4 of them, so he's going on 14 months. He's heading towards 14 months now. So you'd think there'd be more than 4, but all right. Enough about that. On to the rest of the tech-related news. And you thought all the kids stuff was done. All right. So I listed that on the website as Robots Steal Our Children's Love. This is the final piece in the puzzle. Apparently the robot invasion is going to come after our children are already so accustomed to robots that they don't even bother serving them. See, they already had them working for them. They had them covering the robot. What about the robot covering the kids? Did that freak them out? That's what I want to know. All right, and the last little thing we had on the tech tidbits is from our friends over at EcoGeek.com. This is probably one of the most awesome ads I've ever seen. Now, I'm not usually somebody who sits there and pontificates about the different virtues of different ad stylings. I do enjoy my Wired magazine print subscription because I think some of the ad work that comes out of the agencies that they deal with is fantastic. I mean, some of the stuff is just graphically superior to many other ads that are out there. And, you know, if you're going to need to engage me as a technology reader, you're going to need to engage me on a certain level for me to really sit up and take notice of your product. So this is above and beyond. But however, this is slightly different. All right, you imagine your standard billboard in the Philadelphia area. These things are pretty much every other block out here. So basically, there's an ad that says, I'm just going to read a little blurb. It says, in response to a recent power shortages in South Africa, the national power company Eskom, has begun calling on individuals and industry alike to cut power usage. So this is crazy. This is awesome. So you have your standard roadside billboard. Then you have the 4 lights that are up at the top of it, and you only have 1 lit on the far right-hand side. So everything else is black here, and there's 3 words and a company logo. It says, use electricity wisely, Eskom. That is fantastic. It's understated. The entire billboard is white except for these three blue words, clearly readable by the one light. The entire message is brought home. This is fantastic. I mean, I don't know if there's a graphic design firm or if somebody just said, hey, you know what would be kind of cool? I mean, I don't know. The entire thing, it's a pregnant pause before the weight of the ad actually comes in. You're looking at it going, oh, wow. So that's pretty cool. And it sinks deeper and deeper. So this is like a hypnotic ad to me. I mean, I'm a fan. I love design. I love different elements of graphic design and the different things that can go into making a good ad versus a bad ad, a good website versus a bad one. So when I see elements of good design, especially when they're involving techie and geeky stuff. I mean, hey, everything we use has electricity, right? Unless you have one of those fun steampunk laptops we were talking about a little while ago. So this is just fantastic. Thought I'd pass it along, kind of like a little reminder to other people. It said, you know, hey, you might want to actually consider, holding off on some of your own electricity usage. You know, I personally have stopped using computers for warmth. I mean, the air that comes out the back, yes, they're like little space heaters, but not so much. You know what I mean? All right, that wraps up the tech section here. We only have 2 little fun things in the caffeinated section. One little aside. First off, USA Today, you were on my on-notice list, a la Stephen Colbert. You were on my list here because you listed Philadelphia as one of the least caffeinated cities. Seriously. Least caffeinated? Have you met anybody that's over here? I'm pretty sure everybody that's on the west coast of the United States is actually looking at us and going, are you kidding me? East coast people are so much more high strung. But I mean, I don't know what went into it, but my wife called me. She thought it was fantastic earlier today. I said, saying fantastic a lot. All right. she thought it was awesome earlier today. She said, you know, Philadelphia was listed as one of the least caffeinated and the most caffeinated is Chicago. Really, if I was going to go most caffeinated, I would probably pick Seattle or New York. I mean, just right out there. I mean, I don't know why, but Chicago doesn't really enter into a lot of my calculations. I mean, yeah, I've I've hated against their sports teams. I have never actually, I was there for a very short time as we changed over planes in O'Hare, but I mean, that's about it. It doesn't really enter into, I know it's a great city, I know it's like a number three city or something like that, but it doesn't really strike me as a caffeinated mecca. They're not known for their coffee. Seattle, known for coffee, you know what I mean? New York, known for just people being high-strung people. Philadelphia, I don't know, maybe the whole city of brotherly love adage got out there, and they were kind of backing off it a little bit. You know what? To hell with that. How many other cities have a caffeination podcast? We are the Caffeine Nation here. That's what we do, and we are a pure Philly podcast. We have listeners from all around the world, but this place is based in Philadelphia. You need to recognize us. You need to bump us at least off the least caffeinated list. Come on. All right, now on to the caffeinated news here. I mean, you even have a caffeinated host here. I'm caffeinated. I'm a little bit wired at this point in time. So, I mean, we're on to the caffeinated news here. All right, paper versus metal filters. Now, I have a lot of people out there who are asking me, you know, I heard you talking about the Forever filters at one point. I heard you talking about, you can get these things in your supermarket, whatever else, you know, wherever else you buy your groceries and stuff like that. They have two different shapes, basically for the two different standardized shapes of coffee filter. They got the baskets and then they got the cones. Okay, that's cool, that's fine. But they have, you know, paper or plastic. You know, they have the metal ones, which is the thin screen that you can rinse out and reuse forever and ever and ever and ever. They got the paper ones that are the one shot and then you're gone. And then they actually have the white and the now unbleached paper. I have noticed, just to kind of put your mind at ease, there is absolutely no difference that I have been able to detect between the white filters and the unbleached filters. There's nothing. I haven't seen anything. I haven't tasted anything. I mean, I'm talking good coffee, bad coffee, any coffee. I haven't noticed any less grounds, any less swirl running around in the pot after the fact. They are the same thing. The unbleached ones are just slightly more expensive. So pretty much, you're getting taken for a ride. Now, however, the metal filters are worth their weight. It's great to not have to scurry for a filter. It's great. I mean, yeah, the filters are cheap enough. You're saving the environment when you look at it this way, especially if you save the coffee grounds. If you compost your coffee grounds into potting soil and stuff like that, which I do, I mean, it's a great idea, first of all. If you have flowering plants, you just sprinkle a little bit of the coffee grounds. If you have bugs in your lawn or something like that, you take the coffee grounds dried and you sprinkle them all over the lawn. And used coffee grounds, by the way. Don't waste good coffee. And you have significantly less bug problems. So, however, there's one thing that has been brought to my attention recently, and I can't find the article for the life of me. They say the amount of LDL, and which is the good cholesterol, is the same in both metal filters and paper filters. However, the amount of bad cholesterol is slightly more, which is more than zero, so any cholesterol at all is bad when you put a metal filter in there. Just because, I guess, some of the bad cholesterol is absorbed in the fibrous matter of the paper filters. So, I mean, if you already have high cholesterol and you don't have the heart problems, because seriously, if you have heart problems, why are you drinking coffee anyway? But, but I mean, if you already have a cholesterol problem, you might want to consider sticking with the paper ones. There is a slight differential in flavor. I prefer the metal ones just because I'm lazy and I don't like going out and buying filters, but I also like the fact that the flavor is just slightly richer. And of course, it would mean that there's cholesterol or something else in there, you know? All right, and then the last little thing that we wanted to talk about here at the day today on the Caffeination was actually the dangers of good coffee. Now, a lot of people like to tell you about, you know, oh yeah, it's great to have good coffee. You really need to try this. And then they say, okay, this will get you off Folgers forever. This will get you off Maxwell House forever. This will get you off that, this, and the other thing. Here's the problem with that. If you run into a patch in your life where the only thing you can drink is the office coffee, it's going to taste that much worse by comparison. It's like if you have, like, really gourmet food. If you have steak at some fantastic restaurant and you finish up and it melted in your mouth. I mean, the wife and I went out for a dinner a couple weeks ago, and we went to Outback Steakhouse just because we had a gift certificate to go there. Now, I hadn't been there in a long time, but the steak absolutely melted in my mouth. It was like you cut it, and it fell apart on the knife, and when you ate it, it was like if butter was made into meat. I mean, I know it's a weird kind of amalgamation there, but still at the same point in time, it was great. And then the next time we had steak when I came home, just didn't taste as good. It just lost a little something. I mean, and I even cooked it. I'm a pretty good cook, if I do say so myself. But at the same point in time, I couldn't approach that level of succulence, you know? So it's the same thing with good coffees. If you're going to get a good coffee, fine. You know, I'm not saying don't get the great coffee. Just be aware that the coffee that you were used to drinking, you're never going to look at it the same way again. You're always going to look back at the Folgers with fond memories and say, yeah, you were the best part of waking up. Then I really woke up. And now it's all about the fresh brewed. It's all about the fresh ground and this and then that. I mean, even Dunkin' Donuts has better coffee than you. So I just wanted to kind of pass it along, a little PSA here, a little public service announcement for all of you. So thank you very much for listening in to Caffeination number 179. This is all about teeth. This is all about a lot of stuff. You heard all about recalls, greed, betting, space law, and coffee. So hopefully you enjoyed everything we had going for you today. It's been a kind of a fun little journey here in the 179th episode. So I wanted to bring you on out in style. Again, you've been listening to the Caffeination Podcast with me, Paul R.J. Muller, as your host. You can find this podcast hosted actually over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. We're also proudly listed over at the Blueberry Podcast Network, and this has been a Puzzle Piece production. So we'd like to thank everybody who's listening to this. Thank all of our old and new listeners, all of the returning and the brand new. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us, and thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.